Sex.
Hey, Scarlets, it's Mary Adele here, your friendly neighborhood sexuality educator, here to normalize conversations about sex, sexuality, and make these convos joyful, liberating, inclusive, comprehensive, so we can all live more fulfilling, pleasurable lives. So how is everyone? We made it to February. I'm excited about that. But does anyone else get the Februarys where it's like, all right, it's time for spring. And then March comes and it's really not that much better either. But it'll move along. And actually, it hasn't been that cold, which is both, you know, good and bad, I guess. So this week ends in Valentine's Day. So maybe someone just groaned who's listening. Maybe someone got really excited who's listening. And maybe someone just doesn't care. I think that's exactly how that holiday is. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Others are just like, whatever. What day is it? Wherever you're at, obviously, is totally fine. Maybe you like it one year, maybe not so much this year because of a breakup or just something that's going on in life. So you don't have to make it a big deal. And I'm not going to talk much about the holiday in this episode, but I am going to celebrate it with you by giving you a few treats. We're going to start with an embodiment meditation. So meditation is so frustrating for some because the idea of clearing the mind, in quotes, is impossible. And it's definitely impossible for me. And I'm not going to ask you to do that. We're going to have thoughts. Our brains chatter a lot. That's okay. This is more just about a moment where I'm going to prompt you and lead you and facilitate this so that you have my voice to be like to guide you through this meditation. What I want you to do is to feel embodied. And by that, I mean just in your body. It's such a valuable place to be, especially in the name of your sexuality, because if you're embodied, you know what feels good, what doesn't, what you'd like to try, what parts of your body are sensitive or tight, and so on. So let's just give it a try. And note, if you're driving, you can still listen, but you might get really zenned out. Don't close your eyes, obviously. You might want to actually turn this off, listen to something else, and come back to this episode later, because we're going to get really juicy and relaxed. So not prime driving material. Okay, so let's close our eyes and imagine ourselves sitting next to a river. The smell of spring is edging, but you're warm in a sweatshirt and jeans. You're on the side of the river so you can feel the rushing water on your face. A little breeze, a little mist. Okay, so we're going to take a moment to get out of our head and heart, where we spend a lot of time and energy, and just be with the body. So I want you to really focus on anything that's happening in your body. Let your shoulders drop, release your jaw muscles, uncross your legs. Don't try to control your breath. Just notice what it's doing. Maybe take a deep one if you need it. We're pretending we're explorers of our bodies. So what's your heart rate doing? Do you have any stomach grumbles going on? Any sharpness anywhere? Just notice. You don't have to fix anything. Notice changes. Hear what's happening around you or outside, but don't give it any thought. Just hear it. And if a thought enters, watch it pass through and then tune back into your body again. Where is that tightness happening for you if you've got tightness? What's your breath doing now? Does your heart slow down a little bit? So, as you move through your day today, I challenge you to keep tabs on your breath, keep tabs on your heart rate, any muscle spasms. Notice when any changes occur in your body. Maybe when you're sitting in traffic, you feel your heart rate go up. Maybe when you see your best friend, you feel this warmth gather in your chest. Truly being aware of what your body is doing and how it's reacting is going to tap into your intuition, which is a really powerful tool we have. But it's also going to help you notice pleasure in really small ways. And when we notice pleasure in really small ways, we can tune into it in really big ways. more often, more, like I said, again, more like deep within the body. And that's the goal, right? We want to try to get to this place of being able to notice and experience pleasure every day, because that's our human right. All right, so take another deep breath. And you can open your eyes now. Thank you for doing this embodiment meditation with me. How did that feel? Hopefully you're feeling a bit more present, which is perfect, which is the goal, because I do have another exercise for you. This was kind of the warm-up. I do sensuality tours with people I work with, and it's really powerful. So basically, I'm going to prompt you through experiencing your five senses, and it's going to get you, again, feeling that juicy presence. And it's something that you can carry with you. It especially helps during times of stress or anxiety to be able to tune into your five senses and just notice what you're smelling, notice what you're hearing, because again, that's bringing you into the moment so that you're not like worrying about what's next or dwelling on the past. You're right there. You're like experiencing the world that's right around you. Okay, so first up, let's start with sight. So look around you. What do you see? What colors stand out? Are you near anything special to you, like a picture, a piece of art, maybe something an ancestor gifted you? Can you look out a window? What captures you outside? Is there a big tree right out your window? Maybe a plant of some sort, or maybe a person walking their dog? So take a second to really study your surroundings and find the imagery that makes you feel good. And then I want you to notice what happens in your body when you gaze upon a favorite color or a big sturdy tree. And maybe you're thinking, nothing happens in my body, and that's okay. Sometimes nothing happens in the body. But maybe you do notice something. Maybe you notice that all of a sudden your shoulders relax a little bit. Or maybe, again, that warmth gathered somewhere in your heart space, maybe in your tummy, somewhere in your body, something shifted a little bit because you're looking at something that's special, or, I don't know, you just are tuned into your sight. Any little tingle counts. Do you notice tension anywhere? Do you notice a deeper breath? Now, I want you to think about other sights that you really love that maybe aren't around you right now. So my favorite thing to look at is a sunset. I love a good sunset. I like the pinks, the oranges. Maybe you like to look at the ocean waves crashing. Maybe there's a certain kind of flower you love to look at. Maybe it's the face of one of your loved ones. So just think on these for a few seconds. And if you are a journal person, this would be a great time to write down some of these things. I call it the pleasure list. So on our sensory tour, feel free to take note of your pleasure lists. And pleasure lists are great because you can just tear them out of your notebook and tape them. And then anytime you kind of need that reminder of something you love, your list is right there. You can also just, you know, take inventory in your head, or we all have those smartphones, so you could pull your smartphone out and start typing a list. Okay, let's move on to sound. So right now, what noises do you hear around you? Maybe the ticking of a clock? Maybe the hum of a space heater? Any cars outside? Maybe your dog sitting next to you and breathing deep as he sleeps, he or she. A bird singing. Maybe you've got some music playing. So take a deep breath right now and just listen for a moment. Like, it's such a primal experience to close your eyes and listen and pick up little sounds that you wouldn't normally notice. Do you notice anything happening in your body right now? If so, what? Say it out loud and make it really real. All right, and now think of some sounds you love. So the rushing of a river, I love that one. Your favorite band or your favorite songs, the crunch of leaves in the fall, a pot boiling with water. I love that because usually it means I'm cooking pasta, which is my favorite food. So just ruminate in these sounds, your lovely, lovely sounds, and write them down. So next up we have taste, which this one's a little trickier to experience in the present moment if you don't have food, but you can do it. So bear with me. Open your mouth for a moment. Can you taste anything? Maybe you're outside, so you taste some fresh air. Maybe if you have a glass of water or a drink next to you, take a sip. Maybe even, you know, when you're burning a candle, you can taste that smokiness. I mean, don't inhale it too much, but maybe you can taste it. And if you do have food in front of you, take a bite and like let it sit in your mouth for a second. Experience all the flavors. Really like sink in. Notice the taste buds doing all their important work in your mouth. And then describe out loud what the tastes are like: sweet, salty, bitter, etc. Okay. Now think about some of your favorite tastes in the world. Spaghetti, chocolate, coffee, an IPA beer, the crunch of a really fresh salad. Oh my gosh, I'm salivating. Think about all your favorite foods. Think about memories you have around those favorite foods. That kind of takes you out of the present moment, I know, but it's okay. I'll allow it. And maybe stop this for a second and go make yourself some breakfast or lunch or dinner. And really just sit there and eat. I'm a big fan of like watching TV while I eat. Maybe this time don't do that and just let the food kind of capture you. Capture your, well, senses, obviously, but also just like the experience in its in and of itself to eat. What's that like, just sitting there eating? Excellent. Okay, moving on. Now we're at smell. This one's one of my favorites. I think because it's really connected to taste. Because a lot of times you can smell something yummy and be like, oh, I can taste it. But what do you smell around you right now? Do you have a candle on or an incense burning? Do you smell something earthy? Like in Maryland, it's been raining a lot. So you step outside and it smells like you can smell all that wet earth. Maybe you have something cooking. Maybe something's in the crock pot. Do you smell that? How, when you focus in on the smells, how is it affecting your body? I know for me, I kind of feel it like move through my nose and then down my throat, if that makes any sense. Another really primal sensory experience, if you can close your eyes and try to smell something far, far away that you wouldn't normally smell if you weren't really focusing on it. And smell is a huge memory connector. So that's why people work so much with essential oils, because it can connect you to, you know, memories in your past, but also like some people believe it can connect you to like ancestral smell experience and this deep memory we have within us, which I think is pretty magical. So do any memories come up, or an image even if it's an image? And sometimes those images will surprise you. Like I've gotten images where I'm like, where did that come from? I've never been to this place or seen that person. It might not happen that way, and that's, you know, totally fine. But sometimes it does. And then just notice these memories or these images as you're smelling the room, the outside, wherever you're at. And now let's think about some of your favorite smells. So cinnamon buns, oh my gosh. That salty ocean air smell, how great is that? I love the smell of sandalwood. What's your favorite candle scent or essential oil? Maybe you love eucalyptus. I know that's my partner's absolute favorite is eucalyptus. When you smell, see if a color comes up for you. Try to match a smell to a color. It sounds weird, but like, I don't know. Try it. It's fun. And then when we finish up this podcast, go and find something you love to smell and smell it today. Lastly, we've got touch. So I want you to touch your skin. Lightly trace your arms or your hands. Maybe move to your neck and give yourself some, you know, knead your neck a little bit. Give it a little love. Or if you don't have shoes on, or if it's easy for you to take your shoes off wherever you're at, give yourself a little foot massage. Why not, right? This one in particular, this touch, should definitely bring up some kind of something in the body. So like if you're massaging your feet, like feel those muscles really like just relax and the tightness go away down there that maybe you didn't even realize was there. That's the thing. We gather a lot of stress in our bodies day to day from the stress that we experience. So especially as students, y'all are working really hard, and you might not notice some of the tension that gathers in maybe your shoulders or neck. Some people it happens in the pelvic floor area, the hips, and right on down to the feet. So, you know, you can do some massage yourself. Maybe if you have a partner, having them massage you, or getting a massage, just really like taking some time to work out some of those muscles. I forget what, foam rollers. Foam rollers are great for the hips and the like thighs and stuff. So you could get one of those. But anyway, back to just like the tingly touch when you're like just gently tracing your arms or your hands. What does that do for you? For me, I get a little bit of goosebumps, I think. I'm doing it right here with you. And then just be here for a moment. Might feel a little awkward, that's okay. I encourage you to do it anyway. And then do it again later. The more you do something like this, the less awkward it is. One of my favorite rituals I have with myself is I put lotion on my feet each night before bed. And that simple touch is just really relaxing and brings me this sense of self-love and peace, because I'm like doing this nice act for myself every night and I'm touching my body in a really intentional way. We need that touch. Not all of us need it to the same levels, but there's something called skin hunger, which I might have talked on the podcast about before, but it's basically this human need for touch, and we crave it, like as humanoids, like it's just something that we really need. We need water, we need food, and just to get that sense of love, we need touch. So touch yourself, touch, you know, with consent, a loved one, and really cherish those moments when you feel good and embodied. And now take some inventory. Maybe this is something you've already explored, maybe not yet, but like, where do you like to be touched? And it does not have to be in a sexual way. It can be completely platonic, but where on your body feels really good for touch? Behind the knees, maybe you love to get your back scratched. Take inventory of your body preferences. All right, if you wanna get witchy with it, you can do a sixth sense. And see if any spiritual stuff comes up for you. I won't prompt you through that one, but, you know, do you, if that works for you. And that's the sensual tour. So now you have a pleasure list. You can keep adding to it. Maybe next year you don't like being touched in a certain place, so you can cross it off. But it's yours, and that's powerful. It's powerful. It makes humankind really cool that we all share the sensory experiences for the most part, but we all have different experiences with it, and what we like and what we don't like, and what our favorites are, and what like totally turns us off. I think it's just a cool human thing. And if you continue to notice the small stimuli that are accessible to us day to day, like how accessible is that? You literally just sat in a room and first noticed what was around you, and then talked or thought about what you love. Like that's really easy to do. And that's going to help tune you into, again, big pleasure. And, you know, keep practicing this. Don't stop practicing this. This is the kind of work that gets you to a place of self-worth, that gets you to a place of self-love even, or self-acceptance, which is really what you need. when you're giving yourself this time to sink into pleasure, to allow yourself to experience, like, you don't have to like chant every day, I love myself, to get to that place. You can just do organic things like this, where you're like, I deserve to feel this for these few minutes. And I've said it before, but pleasure is our human right. And when you shine with pleasure and you don't feel guilty about it, you help others to do the same. It's, trust me, it works. As soon as you're in tune with your pleasure and in tune with your sensuality, people notice that. You glow. And they're like, I want that. And they might ask you, like, why are you glowing today? What you been doing? And then you get to tell them, I've been on my sensual tour. And then you can lead them through your sensual tour. I think it's like Lizzo said. She's like, when I'm shining, everybody's going to shine. So listen to Lizzo and start shining. So speaking of preferences, body preferences, let's go to our listener question for this episode. It was a really great question. They said that they really want to explore their sexuality, but they don't know where to begin. It feels daunting and embarrassing. Yes, so thank you for this question. And first of all, I get why it feels embarrassing. We're in a culture where we're not brought up to appreciate and explore our bodies. We are told to change our bodies and to keep them, in quotes, perfect, which is impossible, at all times. But that's it. Now, that's just our culture in general. I know there's a lot of people doing important work to fight against that. But that's kind of what we've internalized, I think, at least this generation, is, you know, to feel disembodied, to be in your head all the time, to feel stress, to constantly be working towards something, working, because that's what makes you, you know, full and whole and worthy. Y'all, it's just not true. We gotta rest. We gotta, I'll say it over and over again, we gotta seek pleasure. We've gotta be with each other. It's not all about one, you know, getting to this perfect goal, whatever that may be for you, if it's school, if it's a career, whatever, if it's the perfect partner. You got to like take some time to smell the roses. But anyway, so we're told to change our bodies. We're told to keep them perfect all the time. And that's it. So I affirm your experience, listener, Scarlett. But also let's move away from that shame. We've talked about shame before. It's not worth your time. It's unproductive. Let's move away from shame and let's look at a really simple tool to get you started on exploring your sexuality, which is your sexual inventory. So if y'all have not checked out scarlatine.com, they are a wonderful resource. They started out being kind of sex education for teens, but I look up stuff on there all the time for my own education and I'm 30. So they're still it can apply to all ages, all the articles on that site. So I encourage you to check that out. One of their most popular articles is the sexual inventory that was created by Heather Corinna and CJ Turrett. And they're both Scarlatine writers. And I think Heather Corinna actually created the site. So the sexual inventory is called Yes, No, Maybe So, a sexual inventory stock list. It's great and it's really extensive. So to get you started, start thinking about the language you want to use for your own body, the language you want someone else to use for your body, how you want to approach a conversation about sexuality with another person, with yourself. Like the inventory goes through all of that. They talk about sexual preferences. They talk about how, I just lost it. But basically everything you could imagine with sexuality, they've come up with the question for it. It's a really long list, like I said, and you can just do the first section one day, the next section the next day, just to kind of like not be overwhelmed by all the questions they're asking. But that's the beauty of having a maybe, is you can be like, I'm not sure about this right now. I'm just going to say M for maybe. And then you can come back to it and think about it later. Now, the inventory, yes, is a starting point. And again, we've talked about this. Your sexuality is going to grow. It's going to change. It's going to evolve. So what might be on the inventory right now could be completely different 6 months from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. So it's not kind of like a one and done thing. You have to keep tabs on yourself, your body, your sexuality throughout life cycles. We've talked about how like things like grief, if a loved one died, that can totally change. I mean, not completely, but it can change and shift your sexuality, which is, it's just what it is. You know, it's not good or bad. It's just how, it's just the truth. Mental health definitely plays a part. Just big life changes will play a part, but maybe even just small life changes like starting school. I mean, I know that's big, but just different levels of change can affect something in your sexuality. And you're going to probably discover a lot. Like I keep discovering things about myself and I'm not old and wise or anything yet, but I've definitely moved through a good 10 years of like being a sexually active person, and to still be like constantly discovering things is, I feel, a big deal. So the sexual inventory, yes, is a great tool. Do it. And then maybe 6 months from now, have it on your calendar to check back in. Like, did that maybe change to a yes? Or is it a no now? Or maybe it's still a maybe. Have fun with it. Take care of yourself. Some of the questions can be maybe a little heavier. So if it feels like it's draining you, just step away from it. Yeah. And enjoy that. Enjoy learning about yourself. And then the really cool part is if you have a partner or a few partners and they're open to it, have them do their sexual inventory and then compare. It's a really fun way to connect with a partner, and it opens up these really vulnerable questions that we, or conversations, I mean, questions and conversations, and can connect you in a way that you hadn't been connected before. So you do it for yourself, share it if you feel comfortable, maybe just share it with friends, have a get together with some friends and call it the sex inventory night, and just all kind of privately do it, or maybe do it ahead of time and then come together and compare answers. If you're comfortable doing that, you can make a whole night of it. All right. And good luck to you, and know that you're not alone. We're all kind of just discovering our sexualities together, and there's nothing embarrassing about it. We have bodies that have sexual organs, and we have sensuality. So just know that you're never alone, you know? All right, so as usual, we're going to pause for pleasure, the segment where I give a shout out to something in life that has given me pleasure recently. So I bought myself some roses yesterday, and then I took from some of them the flower off and got all the petals, and then I baked the petals. And so now I have these dried rose petals for my bath. Oh my gosh, so luxurious. I feel like the fanciest person ever with my rose petals in my bath, but it was really easy. I mean, roses aren't super cheap. But if you're going to make them to have this like spa night, a few nights, why not, right? So I hope everyone enjoys their Valentine's Day if they celebrate. If they don't, I hope you just have a great couple of weeks until I'm back. You can find me at MaryAdele_sexeducator on Instagram. My website is MaryAdele.com. Feel free to email me with questions that I can answer on the podcast at info@MaryAdele.com. Make sure to follow Dragon Digital Radio on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and be sure to check out all the other awesome podcasts on dragondigitalradio.podbean.com. And don't forget to comment, rate, and share. So thank you, Scarlets. Tune in soon for a new episode of The Scarlet Collective, and don't forget to pay attention and seek pleasure. Thanks, y'all.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.